You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. See where I live. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Game Scoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Oop. Ryan McCaffrey,
Napoli here,
and Jose Otero.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We've got a great show for you this week. We, of course, got to talk more about the Switch and Zelda. Those are the big topics of the moment. But first, some of our listeners out there are already getting excited about E3.
Ooh. Who isn't?
They can't help themselves. And one of our listeners, Neil from Spain, has included a whole boatload of E3 predictions. He's making here two pages of E3 predictions for each of the major publishers. So I thought it'd be fun to go through them, and we can decide whether or not we agree or disagree. With Neil from Spain's E3 2017.
It's never too early.
Never too early.
It sneaks up on you every year.
Well, we're halfway through March, so we're really
3 months out.
3 months out.
Yeah, but so busy this year compared to any other year. Like busier than ever. So the thought of E3 is still like, wait, that's right. In two months, it really gets serious.
We just launched a whole new console and Zelda. Yep. We're getting a new Mass Effect.
We did a great job.
Pat ourselves on the back. All right, let's dive into Neil from Spain's predictions here. He's broken them down by publisher. So starting with Bethesda, do we think?
We go in alphabetical here, okay.
Bethesda will show a teaser for Elder Scrolls 6.
No.
Too soon.
Too early, exactly.
Way
too soon. It's been 5 years?
Yeah, but the ultimate, it's the Fallout team.
Okay.
So,
last we knew that.
Not even a teaser.
Last we knew, Todd Howard's team at Bethesda Game Studios was one team.
Yeah.
As which Justin just alluded to, and they've been alternating to keep themselves from going insane.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls Fallout, Elder Scrolls.
They got
Fallout.
It figured out. They got that dialed in, go between the sci-fi and the fantasy. I mean, they've said, this is paraphrasing now. They've said they're working on the game insofar as they're sort of thinking about concepts, but it's not, they were very like, look, is this not in active development? Like,
yeah,
don't
they're
expect
also
this soon.
Working on multiple projects, and Todd Howard has said that much around DICE, and I think even, he didn't say it at E3 last year, but we definitely got a quote from him saying there's a bunch of stuff sort of cooking under the hood, not from necessarily the Skyrim team or the Elder Scrolls team, but from, you know, Bethesda as a whole. So it makes you kind of wonder what's going on.
Now, I think what we'll see is probably Wolfenstein from them.
Well, you're jumping ahead here.
I'm sorry, I thought we were on Bethesda.
We are on Bethesda. As an aside, Todd Howard recently received the Lifetime Achievement Award at the DICE Awards.
Well deserved.
In his speech, I thought it was funny. You know, he said his whole career he's been working at the same developer with the same team and pretty much making the same game over and over his whole career. I thought that was
funny. Yeah, no, that is very charming.
Nice touch. Yeah, will Bethesda announce a sequel to The Evil Within for 2018?
Yes.
No.
Maybe. I don't know who to believe.
Maybe.
Jose is the one that's got it.
It did pretty well. It reviewed pretty well. Tango Gameworks, it's time for whatever they're working on to be revealed. Bethesda has to fill an hour at their E3 showcase. I do think it's going to be Evil Within 2. We'll see it.
Yeah, to my knowledge, that team is working very hard on something and not showing it. And whatever it is, obviously, they have plans for internally. It would make sense if it was Evil Within 2, given that there was something about the classic survival horror roots that they tapped into, even though there was also the reminder of like how bad voice acting used to be and how certain parts just didn't really make it into the future the way we would hope. But I sincerely believe, I'm hoping they'll show, but this is also one of those cases where maybe if it's not ready, hold a little longer.
Yes, but Justin's not convinced.
Well, I mean, you're right that dev is working on an unannounced project for a long time, and so whatever it is going to have to be shown off soon. I guess I was mainly, I don't know. I mean, Bethesda doesn't seem to be in the interest of, they seem to be moving away from single A, right? Like, everything is just gigantic or go home. And that was really as far as my thinking went, but you're completely right that team is working on something that it's time to lift the lid on.
Mm-hmm. Neil from Spain thinks they'll show Fallout VR.
Maybe
They showed it last year. They did have it as a Vive demo.
Yeah. Maybe as a real actual commercial product. That's plausible.
That would make sense for this year. Yeah, with that. Nice job, Neil.
We'll get a release date for Quake Champions.
Yeah. Probably maybe even sooner than E3. The beta is starting soon, I believe.
Is it starting before E3? A Doom sequel announced.
Too early.
Too soon.
Yeah.
DLC? No.
More content?
They would have been done. Yeah, they're done by now.
New Wolfenstein game announced coming this fall.
I think that's a definite yes.
They teased it at last year's conference.
They knew what they were doing with that. Yeah.
How did they tease it? Oh, it was included in like
the DOS thing at the very end. Yeah. That's right.
Exactly.
I think they're good at, I think they are separate teams. You know, the Doom team's probably working on the next Doom product, but they seem to do, you know, the Skyrim and Fallout alternating, and I think they're going to get into a Doom and Wolfenstein rhythm.
Yeah, too. I mean, from a corporate, it makes sense from a corporate level. You don't want to have those two butting up, but their development schedules are separate. You know, Doom is id Software in Dallas, and Wolfenstein is Machine Games in Sweden.
Yeah.
And it is about time for the next game from Machine Games.
And last but not least, Neil expects Fallout Shelter to be announced for PS4 and Switch.
Switch, I mean, they already released it on Xbox One as a free-to-play thing.
Yeah. Well, and they're playing nice with Nintendo with, you know, Skyrim coming. Which I think Fallout Shelter, Fallout Shelter, I think, was liable to be a bigger hit on the Switch than Skyrim.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's why, speaking of Skyrim, I wonder if they'll touch on that at all, the Switch version.
Yeah, no, true.
You would hope so.
I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, some details have come out, but it's been very light still. And so it'd be nice to just finally get that sort of cleared out, because it clearly feels like the game for them is, oh, we got our engine up and running. We're going to go with this because this is a hit, or this has been a hit. At the same time, it's a six-year-old hit. And yeah, it's a game that still makes money, and it's a game that people still care about. The Definitive Edition did well.
Well, and, I mean, not to stretch this too thin, but I think Zelda, which, you know, Breath of the Wild definitely takes some cues from modern Elder Scrolls, but that, I think, in turn, it shows Bethesda that, hey, there's a huge audience for our game on this platform.
Yeah, that's true.
Every single person playing Zelda on the Switch is liable to be a Skyrim fan if they haven't already spent 100 hours with it.
Yeah, it fits into that message of, like, yeah, this is that big console game that you're going to take with you. Like, Zelda is that game, Skyrim is that game, absolutely.
All right, moving on to Microsoft. Neil expects them to really show off Project Scorpio.
Yeah, so Phil Spencer was at this table with us on Unlocked. I know. In that chair, in fact.
Oh, I can still smell him.
And just a few weeks ago, and I asked him exactly that, and he, obviously, in his Phil way, he's not dropping huge news bombs on our show.
He's media trained.
I did ask him, do you think that you guys will have a Scorpio event ahead of E3 to maybe get some top-line details out of the way, which they did with Xbox One, and he suggested that that's definitely a possibility. I took that to mean, in my, I've been doing this a long time and I know how to kind of translate this a little bit, that it's probably going to happen. So I think, and it makes sense because, you know, if the release date is either somehow awesome, like it's sooner than we think, or if it's later than we think, and if the price is less than we think or more than we think, they're going to want to get all of that noise. And I say noise, I don't mean it in a derogatory way, but they're going to want to get all of that chatter out of the way before E3, so that, because E3, as Phil has said over and over again, is all about the games for them. They're going to want to show off the Scorpio-ified games, Crackdown and Forza 7.
They get a second crack at, honestly, what Sony kind of fumbled with PS4 Pro. Like, we saw that presentation and the issues and challenges they had, right, in terms of presenting, okay, well, we're trying to show you the beauty of 4K and the advantage of 4K, but you can't do that over stream. Or we're trying to just point out that developers have the option to use this, but even when the machine came out, it was sort of developers really did pick and choose what features they wanted to support and which ones they didn't. There wasn't sort of a unilateral, like, this is how it must be. And it felt really strange. I want to see how Microsoft will tackle presenting all of that information.
Yeah, they've had the sort of, Microsoft is in the rarer position now for them, because they go first at E3 every year, or they have.
Yeah.
But in this case, with the mid-cycle upgrade console, they get to go second and take notes from what went right and what went wrong with Sony. Whereas in years past, we've seen the tables turned, like specifically with E3, and we've seen Sony be able to react to what Microsoft's done at E3 and go, we're going to go with envelope B, guys, because they did this, and now we can try to one-up them
doing
it this way.
Or even taking advantage of weaknesses, like, hey, here's how you share a game on PS4.
That's exactly the kind of thing I'm referring to.
That's the kind of stuff that, like, E3, you can definitely line up those kinds of swings at your competitor, you know?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just think this is going to be overwhelmingly Scorpio-focused for them.
That, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned Crackdown.
Mm-hmm.
Think Crackdown will be at E3 this year? They've gone dark.
Well, here's the thing. I think the fall lineup for the play it best on Scorpio fall lineup for Xbox this year looks like, I don't know in what order, but probably Forza Motorsport 7 first. That game's not announced, but it's as inevitable as the sun coming up tomorrow. So Forza 7, of course that's going to show off a beefier console.
Yeah.
State of Decay 2, mm-hmm, and Crackdown 3. I think those are the three first-party games that they really push. Hopefully there's one or two new ones we haven't even seen yet coming up.
Stuff.
But surprises would be great. But I think those three are definitely going to get
too soon
pushed.
For Halo? Too soon?
Absolutely. Same. Okay. And Gears, too.
So no Halo 6?
I don't think so.
What about Sea of Thieves?
Yeah, for sure.
Like this fall?
I don't know if the game's out this year. They've had a very open development process. They've done a couple of very clearly alpha play tests where they've done like closed alpha NDA situations with community members. So they're trying to bring that along, and do it right, which I think is great. And I'm super excited for it. I just don't know if it's going to end up making 17, whatever the year this
genre
is.
Genre would you categorize that game?
The Destiny genre.
Oh. I did it.
Shut
I
up.
Did
Get
it.
Out.
Shut up. The show's over. This one's a little random, but Neil predicts Microsoft will announce an Onimusha reboot.
That'd be cool.
Just seems a little random.
Do they own Onimusha?
I don't think so. This is a Capcom game.
That's what I thought.
It's Capcom's game, and it's also weird because Onimusha has not aged well. And I know there's some very fond memories of it because it is that early PlayStation 2 era game, and that's nostalgia these days.
What's our predictor's name here? What's his name again?
Neil.
He's probably channeling the whole Microsoft, Capcom. The Dead Rising 3 was a partnership, was like a third-party exclusive partnership, and then Dead Rising 4. So that's probably where he's coming from on that.
Do you remember that Onimusha sword controller? It was giant. It was the worst thing.
Neil thinks Microsoft will show a trailer for Far Cry 5.
Well, somebody will. Yeah. I mean, if Ubisoft doesn't, Ubisoft will. It's a question of will it also show up on a first party stage.
Yeah, I mean, that game's coming. So,
So it's been a year now since Primal.
Primal didn't do much for me. I actually liked
Primal, but I know I'm in the.
Yeah, I played an hour of it and kind of felt like I saw I needed to see.
Yeah.
It felt like, and likely was, an expanded piece of DLC that they spun out into a full game, which, I'm not saying it wasn't worth $60, but its genesis didn't come from them trying to make the next big Far Cry game, in my opinion. That's the vibe.
That's probably right. Do you think they'll show off any HoloLens?
No.
No.
That's not really a gaming thing, right?
Scorpio, as Justin said, is the focus. They're not going to mess around with trying to get your attention with anything else.
Yeah, that's what your other Microsoft event, like GDC-like event, is for, right?
Well, but I will say, and maybe this is what you're going to get into, I do think that the stage might be set for them to announce some kind of VR partnership or initiative, although it's tricky to balance that with Scorpio.
And again, when Phil was in here, he kind of, in the Phil way, alluded to, like, yeah, we're looking at VR, but not necessarily at launch for Scorpio. Yeah, it seems like they're going to hang back and let the market develop a little bit.
Yeah, and that's another lesson from Sony, because I thought it was a bit too much to have PS4 Pro and PSVR in the same like block of, what, 4 or 5 months? That was a little too soon, I feel like. If you were someone with money to spend, but you could only buy one, which one were you going to get? You know, like that VR is, of course, in a lot of ways the future, in a lot of ways some interesting technology, but this is version 1.0. It's only going to get better.
Right.
Yeah.
What are the odds of Microsoft showing off Metal Gear Survive?
They've shown Metal Gear trailers and stuff in the past, so there's a possibility. I mean, that game has gone dark since TGS, I feel. I think that's the last time I heard something about it.
There's this dumb, like, pissing match going on between Konami and Kojima Productions as far as... And I know I'm going to get a bunch of Kojima fans on me. So all I mean by that is, like, both Konami with Metal Gear Survive and Koji Pro with Death Stranding, both of those games seem really, really far away, and yet they both just keep showing stuff. It's like, it's okay. It's the divorce is final. You guys just lead your separate lives. We'll be here when you're ready.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. What about Kingdom Hearts 3?
Yeah, I mean, that game... it's like, it's been years, right? Like, when did they? That's the only thing I was gonna say is they showed off that trailer so long ago, and then what happened?
I think it shows up on Sony stage. I don't think it shows up on Microsoft
with that.
Stage. Yeah, I think that relationship has always been tighter. Mm-hmm. It's promised for Xbox, but at the same time, it hasn't been shown or seen.
Final Fantasy 15 have a demo on Microsoft stage last year?
Last year, I think that is right.
Yeah. So
it did. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe, and actually, wasn't a great demo. If I remember right.
It was a great game, but the demo was weird. Yeah.
Neil thinks they'll want to show off Middle Earth: Shadow of War on Scorpio. Yeah,
Neil is on fire.
Yeah. He's got two pages of predictions here.
Well, they were. Shadow War is, as far as I know, the first officially confirmed Scorpio title.
Yeah, and you know that in order to, well, maybe you don't know, but you know, as someone that's been in this business a long time, you can't just put that in a press release. Like, there's a tremendous amount of back and forth between them and Microsoft to, you know, hey, get the go-ahead to say, hey, we're coming to this new console. So they obviously are working fairly closely with them, and I think that's a fairly safe bet.
Yeah, I mean, now the game is likely to be out before the console is, likely.
Yeah.
The
game has a release date already, right?
Yes, August something.
So, yeah, you're
so,
right.
But they've already said that Shadow War is play anywhere. So if you just buy the Xbox One disc, and you will get this, you'll get it on Scorpio whenever Scorpio comes out. So.
Unbelievably gorgeous game, by the way.
And then listen to his last prediction here. He predicts Cyberpunk 27 will be coming only to Scorpio. 2077. Coming only to Scorpio, not Xbox One, although also on Steam and PS4 Pro.
I don't think that can happen.
That goes against what Phil said.
Yeah, at least goes against what they said last year. Yeah.
So I like that. I think what Neil's doing is, you know, hear my reasonable suggestions in one pie in the guy. Yeah. I like it as a pie in the sky.
Pie in the guy. It's a new Mario character.
Yeah. I like it as a pie in the sky suggestion because that game is PC first, clearly, right? So yes, you know, there's all the concerns about they're literally not allowed to do it, but if there was a developer that would try to pull some shenanigans like that, I think that's a good candidate for it, since they're obviously looking to get the bulk of their sales on that game on PC.
Probably. All right, moving on to EA.
All right.
Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Coming this
lock
fall.
It in.
No question. Yes, yeah. The Star Wars movie coming out this fall. Absolutely, this holiday.
Neil predicts they'll have some sports games to show off.
Get out.
No,
Neil,
really?
Buddy, calm it down a little bit.
This one is a little bit more specific. He predicts Plants vs. Zombies Space Warfare. following up from Garden Warfare.
I think the big mobile game was such a hit, and
Heroes,
they had a superhero theme.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know, they could, if they were hoping to extend that Garden Warfare franchise, I think it's a safe bet that we'll see more from that. It's one of the only really polished, excellent, mechanically solid T-rated shooters, which is an underrated aspect of that game.
My nephews love that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal. It's like that in Splatoon are like really kind of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I think that they will see more of it, but I think they'd extend.
No, I just like that he set it in space to follow what Call of Duty did last year with Infinite Warfare. I'm just like, oh, that's cute. I get it. All right.
Will we see Visceral's Star Wars game?
No.
Not with the focus on Battlefront.
Yeah.
Maybe like a little snippet tease, but they're going to want all the focus on Battlefront too.
Yeah.
Well, we also, it's tricky because, you know, the rumor is that Battlefront 2 is going to introduce a single player campaign. So it'll still be very multiplayer focused, but yeah, I think that they're going to want to create some separation between the two.
And then, Neil predicts BioWare will show off a new game that's part of a new franchise.
Yeah, we already know that.
We already know that that's
but not free, but BioWare already said that they would have, they would have more to show about their, new IP. What was that? What was that from again?
Vaguely know what you're saying.
Yeah, it was a recent thing.
Yeah, well, they'll have wrapped up Andromeda. So we already know they're working on something new then. News to me. Moving on to...
Bring back Jade Empire.
Time to bring back. Make Jade Empire great again.
No! I mean, yes for Jade Empire. That phrase, no. It's inspired by evil people. Go.
Going on to Ubisoft. South Park will be announced to be pushed to this fall.
Yeah.
The fractured butthole?
I mean, I hope not, but yeah. I mean, I think that's probably pretty likely.
I know you're a South Park guy, Ryan.
Oh yeah. I've officially given up on that game until it's just ready, and then it's just like, great, I will play it and hopefully super love it because I love the last one. And by the way, yes, I'm not crazy. January 31st, 2017, Aaron Flynn, the studio head at BioWare, put up a blog post, a note about our new IP.
Okay.
And he said, see here. We'll just be sharing more with you in the future. Oh, that's right. It was after an investor earnings call where it was mentioned. So I theorized we would see it like a teaser trailer of some kind at E3.
That's right. I really respect BioWare for it. I've mentioned on GameScoop before that I like what they did with Mass Effect, where years ago they just said, we're working on another Mass Effect game. We don't have anything to say about it, but, you know, that franchise isn't going away. And, like, I like that they respect their players enough to not just play coy and be like, will you ever go back to NZ? Like, they're just like, come back in 2 years and we'll have a trailer for you.
With Fallout 4 where they said nothing for 5 years and we all knew they were doing it.
I don't know. I like that, you know, BioWare, that's an interesting just sort of opposite way to go. Say, we're working on something new. You'll see it when you see it.
Yeah. Like, will Ubisoft bring Assassin's Creed back?
Yes.
Yeah, it's time. It's had enough time off and I feel like that series... needs a reinvention on the level of Assassin's Creed 2 to 1, right? Where you felt like 2 was this great step forward for that series and for its story and for it, the way that game worked. I feel like I haven't seen one do that since. That could be just my opinion.
Yeah, there was the big leak for Kotaku, I think, last fall, Egypt. The Egypt thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would argue that 4 was great, and maybe not such a huge
Black
leak.
Flag, right? That was the subtitle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pirate game. Yeah.
And I do think, we'll see a pirate spinoff. Well, I don't know if we'll see it. I hope this
you
is
want
what
that to happen.
In my gut, it's gonna happen.
In your heart,
in my heart,
yeah.
We're gonna see a pirate spin.
It'd be cool.
Just Dance 2018.
Oh yeah, that's
series just keeps going.
Yeah, that's
and
like
going.
Taxes every year.
I'm surprised that series survived.
Oh, Taxes, Jose. Oh, man.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you gotta do your taxes.
Why'd you have to do that to me?
Someone had to.
That's true.
No, that series survived the end of motion controls and continues.
Yeah.
Ryan, what do you think about this? A new Splinter Cell revealed to be a massively open world game.
I've been waiting for new Splinter Cell for a while because Ubisoft Toronto did Blacklist. They did a great job of sort of fusing the old school Splinter Cell with a new school, more action oriented stuff that the modern audience seems to demand. That game was August 2013.
The last Splinter Cell. Wow.
So it does feel like kind of a now or never E3 for that game. Like if there's going to be a new Splinter Cell, this is the year we're going to see it. And if we don't see it, maybe Splinter Cell's gone.
That'd be sad.
Would make me very sad. Yeah. But not having Michael Ironside in Blacklist made me real sad.
Yeah, that's true.
The dude they got was, no offense to him, but just generic compared to Michael Ironside.
Moving on to Square Enix. Neil thinks there's going to be a Nier remaster. The new Nier Automata is just out.
Yeah, the timing's all wrong for that, right? You would want to do that before the sequel.
Well, maybe, except I think maybe the sequel is surprisingly good. From them, maybe they'll want to capitalize on that.
Hey, yeah. Did you play this really good game? Go back and play the one that's
yeah,
so great.
Yeah, it sold okay, if not.
I'm being a little hard. Yeah. I mean, I know that game has a lot of fans.
Yeah, it's got a cult following for sure, but I think it might be too niche. I mean, I think Square's interested in a little bigger piece of the pie than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New trailer for Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Sure. I think we'll see more than that.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think it'll be a playable demo.
Would hope so.
Playable demo at E3.
Well, maybe we won't be playing it. It'll be played on stage.
Yeah. What about the Lightning Trilogy announced for PS4 and Xbox One?
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Yeah. Let it go.
But no. Does Square Enix let things go, or do they?
No, they don't actually. But I feel like the whole the disaster that was Final Fantasy 13 to me, that whole trilogy was just like, listen. It's a pretty game, but we need to move on. 15 is a great new step and direction for that series. Let's focus on the future. Yeah.
What about a The World Ends With You remake?
Oh, I mean, that's another one that I'd like to see in my heart, but nah.
So that was a DS game, and it's also on mobile. Yeah. If they even remade it, what would it be for, like, PS4?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
I want a Parasite Eve remake.
Ah, or yeah, maybe it's like a new Parasite Eve.
Yeah, if not a remake, like top to bottom and start to reboot the series, definitely like give
that.
Me.
That'd be really cool.
It's time. Like that's one of those 90s nostalgia plays that would make a lot of sense.
And Einhander.
Yes. That game's so good.
Was that for Square Enix?
Yeah.
Oh, he's missing I think we're going to see Tomb Raider.
The next Tomb Raider, I think Shadow we already got rumors. Right? Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes,
he didn't include that in either Square Enix or in Microsoft. So, I don't know.
Oh, I don't think that's.
Well, I just.
Sure. There is a historical connection.
Yeah, historically.
Can I share my crazy pie in the guy idea?
TM.
I think I'm going to lose you, but then I'm going to bring you back. Okay. I think they're going to announce Final Fantasy 16, but. They're going to Mega Man 10 it, and it's going to be like 16-bit.
My brain just
broke. I think the next mainline Final Fantasy is going to
be like a Final Fantasy 3.
Yeah, like a Final Fantasy 3/ Final Fantasy 6 era RPG. Like a classic turn-based battle, sprite-based game.
You mean after they just spent hundreds of millions of dollars on 15, they go, let's make something cheaper.
Well, I mean, there's still, I just think it's a little bit.
Octopath Traveler.
It's a little bit of a, it'd be a palette.
I hope they'll show that.
That game looks so cool. Yeah. It's a little bit of a palette cleanser. And we know there's 15 DLC coming and updates. They're going to continue. Like, that world's not going away. And then at the same time, hey, we're doing this other cool thing that, I mean, everything, you know, all that stuff's hot again. You know, it's Shovel Knight and all those games. It's some of the biggest stuff that's out
there. Maybe Project Octopath Traveler is Final Fantasy 16.
Dang. Yeah, exactly.
Scoop.
I hope that they do something with Dragon Quest Builders, like that they a sequel
there's also
would be
like
great.
A bunch of Dragon Quest games coming out.
People slept on that game.
Yeah, it was really good.
This crazy combination of like RPG adventure game and Minecraft is
Builders 2 or Heroes is my theory. Heroes 2 is already
Heroes it's hard 2 to keep all the Dragon Quest Japan. Stuff. It's probably going to get announced for the West. I mean, also inevitable.
Moving on to Sony, I think they open up with Last of Us 2 gameplay.
Open with it?
No. Spider-Man or God of War?
Ooh,
they opened with God of War last year.
I think Spider-Man's too early. I think that it barely exists.
Spider-Man still barely exists.
I don't think Spider-Man's at their show this year. I think they announce it and
think so, huh?
I mean, what do I know?
I could see that.
I want to stake bet this one. I don't know.
Nah,
you
take I don't that, believe it enough to stake. I said it very definitively, but I'm incredibly unsure that that's the case. No, I think Last of Us 2 is a good bet to open with. You know, they already have sort of lifted the lid on it, and I don't think that's their closer, like their big stinger, because that has to be a new project. So let's do a deep dive into Last of Us 2. Yeah.
See, I think Last of Us 2 is going dark for a while after that was their ace in the hole at PSX.
Interesting. That's true. Also plausible.
I don't know. New IP from Sucker Punch.
Yeah, what? I can't refresh my memory on what they even worked. What was their last thing that they released?
Infamous Second Son? Is that
Has
Sucker
it been
Punch?
That long?
It may be.
I don't think they've done anything.
That sounds right.
That was
right. Yeah, there was an expansion.
Like, within the first 6 months of launch, right? Yeah. It's like March in 2014 or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I kind of forgotten about it, honestly. Yeah, that seems plausible.
Uncharted Lost Legacy, which was revealed at PSX.
There'll be an awesome demo with some cliffhanger sequence, and then boom, on to the next game.
Yeah.
That'll get a release date of this fall, I would suspect, as well.
Yeah.
Do you think Sony will want to show off Destiny 2?
I mean, they had the marketing arrangement on the first one.
No Activision conference, so.
Yeah,
no Activision conference, so they have to buddy up with somebody, and I think Sony's the best candidate for it.
It's going to be whoever ponies up the most cash.
You know, you just reminded me.
Microsoft could move in and be like, "Hey, yeah. we want to push this as a, you know, play it on Scorpio game. Yeah. We're going to push more chips to your end of the table." You never know.
Yeah.
It would be interesting only because I didn't mean to jump in like that, but with Destiny's last expansion, they completely dodged PS4 Pro. Like completely. Mm-hmm. They just let Destiny 1 exist the way it is. It's not getting like some super special HDR in time for PS4 Pro's release. So it would be interesting if it ended up that they switch sides and show up on Microsoft stage.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not sure if that's the case. I do think the relationship runs deep there. They've already had a bunch of exclusivity arrangements with Sony before. And so there's precedent.
The thing is, it doesn't matter, but it actually does. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you look at when you add up all those third-party marketing deals that Sony made with PS4, it did add up where suddenly there's just this mind share in the general community that starts to take over of, wow, okay, so I can play all these third-party games on this console, and I get all the like add-on content first. And you know, with one game, whatever, it doesn't make a big difference. But when it starts to be all like a lot of major games, Battlefront and Destiny.
That boulder rolls down the hill. And
yeah, and it's just, and it does. It does matter. So if that's what it would matter if Microsoft did come in and quote unquote sort of steal Bungie back and be like, well, okay, you know, Bungie's with us again. And even if it's just in a marketing way, and of course the game's coming out on PS4 and PS4
Destiny
Pro.
Destiny 2 too has a big sort of expectation to live up to, I simply because the director on that game is the dude who directed Taken King. So it's Luke Smith, and it's the A team at Bungie. Like the B team has been working on expansions for the past like year. And I gotta say that Taken King really saved Destiny in a lot of ways. Like the critical reception when Destiny first showed up in that first year of expansion.
Oh, it got me back into it.
Yeah, it was rough, but Taken King showed up, had some really smart ideas. And the only thing that Destiny has not been able to do that hopefully 2 fixes is that trickle of constant content coming instead of the end game gets maxed out and then players at the top are waiting for things to do. That's not how you want that game to continue.
Yeah, that's always bothered me. I mean, we don't need to turn this into Fireteam chat.
Yeah.
Like, the community, there's nothing for me to do in this game. I'm like, stop playing it for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, and come back. Like,
that's Bungie's message.
That's what I did to, like, World of Warcraft, too. It's like, I play that game 6 months, and then I put it down for 2 years and come back for six months. Yeah. Like, that's how people should play. I don't know. You don't need to play a game forever.
Is it time for a trailer for Shenmue 3?
No.
No way.
Wow. That was announced 2 years ago now,
but it was a logo.
It hadn't even been started yet.
So I'm gonna jump out and say I think it's time. I think I'm gonna go against the grain here and say that for that game to continue to grab mindshare, you have to show something. Mm. I think E3 would be a great place to show, but then retreat. Don't say a word after that.
But
go away.
Shenmue remaster.
Yeah, HD collection maybe.
And then people will play it and go, oh,
yeah,
these games are not actually.
This was a 7.
Yeah. Maybe they want to be careful. If they still want to sell Shenmue 3, maybe they need to be careful about that. New characters for Marvel versus Capcom. What is it called? Marvel versus Capcom Infinite?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
No, definitely. And you want to tap into, I mean, I think Overwatch, Smash Brothers, I think same thing can be said for Injustice 2, but every fighting game is turning the character reveals into an event. And it comes with this awesome trailer and great footage and just smart ways to reveal them and sort of keep the audience's suspense. You know, I feel like those franchises have done a good job of that. So I think that it would be silly of Capcom not to take that approach and start, you know, sort of pulling out maybe even Sony characters like specifically to that version. Like, why not show that on Sony stage?
Well, maybe along with Destiny, will Sony have Call of Duty, the next Call of Duty, which is going back to its roots?
I haven't heard about their marketing deals terms. I don't know when that ends, but, you know, Microsoft had that arrangement and it ended and Sony picked it up. So, yeah, I mean...
I mean, Call of Duty, even if it's a franchise on the decline, and first of all, if they have one, you know, sort of great revolutionary game, it's very easy to bounce back. But even so, even with each game, you know, sort of selling successively fewer copies than the one before, it's still one of the biggest gaming franchises on Earth. You know, they're going to ride it for years and years and years now. You know, it's top of the charts. And honestly, Infinite Warfare, I thought, got a bad rap. I thought it was excellent. So yeah, I mean, I think that'll be a gigantic deal, and it's a sure thing with Activision sort of sitting out of the conference.
I like that it's Sledgehammer's year, because, you know, they really, with Advanced Warfare, they really focused on the campaign with all the Kevin Spacey stuff, and it was a good campaign. It was fun. It wasn't amazing, but it was good. It was fun. So if the rumors are true, and we see World War II again, I'd love to see their take on it.
What about Red Dead Redemption 2?
Yeah, whose stage does that show up?
Well,
they've
I think that's Sony has the marketing on that. I think that was already settled after the initial reveal. So yeah, that could be what you kick off with if you're at Sony's E3 conference.
Yeah, or close with. You know, it's one or the other. They don't put it in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Wild? Remember the game Wild from Michel Ancel?
Fondly, because it reminds me of the canceled Peter Molyneux game PC Xbox. That game has shown up at two Gamescoms and otherwise hasn't been seen at all ever. So yeah, I wonder if they'll just bring it back to Gamescom because it's European developer, or if they will trot it out at E3.
Well, frankly, I'm not sure Sony would want it or need it on their stage.
Well, it is it's a first party. Well, I mean, or it's kind of a second party Sony game.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What about remasters of Medieval 1 and 2? There was that HD animation of the main guy from Medieval
tease that they did.
Yeah.
Or was that leaked?
It was either leaked or fake or something. But it showed up and was making the rounds
fake.
I think. Yeah.
I was never a big fan of those games, so I personally wouldn't want it. But maybe there's a branch of gamers that do. Yeah.
And then we talked about this a little bit before we started filming. PSVR. Does it have any sort of presence at Sony's show?
Unless it's new hardware that is thinner, smaller, like something that's like the minute you see it, you're like, holy cow, I can't believe that's what it looks like now. I don't think it has any place on the stage. Although I do think the time is coming for them to redesign the controller, the interface. Like the Move controller, I think, is currently the worst part about PlayStation VR to me, outside of wires and having this whole thing stretched across my living room, is just these are kind of dated. I want something that's newer, that's as sleek as Oculus Touch or as what Vive is using. And I think that's an important point for any VR game, is just to have a really solid interface and not just rely on your joypad controller for that stuff.
I think VR has to have a presence in the show. Yeah,
it's funny they didn't do any last year. Last year's E3, no mention of VR.
That's true.
Yeah,
they launched it last year, and it's apparently selling well. But they still need that big. That they still don't have the killer app for PSVR.
That's true.
What about Death Stranding?
Too soon.
Just settle down.
Yeah, the game's not out for years.
Yeah. I think nothing.
We got two trailers last year.
You did. Yeah. and we thought the first one would be the only one. I'm gonna say no. I think that game has to go under for it to get made, and those guys can't just keep rolling out these engine demos and cutscenes. They need to work on the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, Ryan, other folks keep harping on. Okay, you've shown us all you need to show us. Now go make your game and come back in 3 years. I kind of hope that let's just keep having crazy trailers forever. Why not? Yeah. Just keep it up. I want the next batshit just completely insane. Just everyone's like, oh, you're flying too close to the sun, you're going to burn up, and people are going to not care anymore. And it's like, well, maybe, or maybe just the hype will get bigger and bigger and bigger.
We know there's an important female protagonist in that game that they haven't shown, and I think they're saving that for first gameplay. Yeah, I think the first time you see that game running, you're going to see the main character, and you'll finally learn this person's identity and why they're in this world. I think they have to hold on to that. I don't think you do that as a CG tease.
The flip side is the hype levels are so high and the trailers have been just so sort of shocking and interesting that when that product becomes a game it almost can't help but disappoint people, right? Like, okay, it's a video game and you're climbing things and there's press X to do this. And like, it's still going to look and feel like a video game. And like, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
like,
no, and his fans want to support him. I mean, he's on his own now. He's running his own studio. And this is, even though when he first announced the studio, he said, we're going to make something smaller. This became the biggest production, I think, one of his biggest I've ever seen. And he has reasoning behind that. He's talked about it, but it's still just the fact that you got to slow down and you've got to work on making this thing, and you're not going to get anything done if you keep showing up at every trade show with another slight message. Just stick to what you're making, and you'll be back, and you'll
see
do really
baby
well.
Baby in Norman Reedus's stomach, and just give it to me all. Give it all to me.
There's Detroit Become Human from Quantic Dream.
Yeah.
They showed that off last year. I think they announced that as being released coming this year.
Yeah, I saw it behind closed doors at E3, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I really like David Cage's games. Heavy Rain's probably my favorite PS3 game. Beyond was a bit of a disappointment, but it was a game where I was glad to have played it, even though I didn't necessarily think it was great. But Detroit feels more Heavy Rain-ish to me as far as its mechanics and the sort of direction it's heading. So, yeah, I would love to see more of that game.
This is probably the third or fourth game that you can lead off E3 with this, and everyone's jaws will drop because that game looks really good.
Well, yeah. They showed us just enough. I get my years mixed up. Was it last year that they?
I think it was last year they showed the gameplay.
Like, yes. They showed us just enough, but not, you know, it was more of like, you know, it was very light, minimal. Like, to dive into it a little deeper, I think it's a great candidate for that. And I mean, hating on David Cage and stuff has kind of become a little bit of a meme, but I'm with Ryan. I mean, I was absolutely enamored with Beyond, and, you know, mechanically it was what it was, but just the story. Like, I was invested in it. Like, I cared about those characters, and it was great, and I'd never played anything like it. And I went home and just lived that game every night for like a week, and I really loved it. So,
and you got to appreciate the effort in his storytelling, right? He's really trying to do something with games that I don't think, you know, it's sort of a touch of FMV, but it's not. It's something that's even uniquely special in an evolution of that stuff. And so I respect him. Like, I don't always agree with where he takes his stories, but as far as a creator goes, like, that's some seriously cool tech.
And what about Days Gone, the mini zombies on screen game they showed last year?
I have no interest in that thing. No. Like, I it's funny because I thought I would care, and the more I saw it, the less I cared. It just, that was my reaction.
Something so weird happened last year. They showed it twice, and then the rumor was that some game fell through at the 11th hour, so they had to fill a slot, and so they put Days Gone back in there. But then they insisted, they doubled down and said, nope, nothing changed with our show, which you don't have to say that. Like, there's some politicking or just political intrigue going on with the push that game got last year. It was just odd. Like, I don't know. I'm with you. Maybe the game will turn out to be great. Maybe it won't. But based off what they've seen so far, I'm not super.
If it's out in this year, I think we'll see it at E3. But if it's not, I think they'll hold it for PSX.
It's a good candidate for PSX.
It's a great call. Yeah.
All right. Finally, Nintendo.
Okay.
So first of all, do you think they hold a Nintendo Direct?
Or just have a stage?
Some sort of video that goes live at a certain time?
I think it's a digital event again. I say that because they
have an event.
I mean, the Switch is out. People love it. Maybe it's time to bring
it. Well, they had an event to reveal the Switch, right? They took the stage for that, and they couldn't avoid it.
Couch out on stage and laid on it. It was great. Everybody loved it.
Koizumi, like, this is still so good. And that was really good to see, but you also saw, especially in that presentation, you saw some of their best personality traits, and you saw some of their worst in like the third party reel, and in like how it was underwhelming in that section. I feel like when they do their digital event presentations, and maybe they'll call it something else, because maybe digital event is too associated to Wii U, which is considered a failure. But they bring out their most charming ideas. That Muppets show thing, that was one of their worst shows, but it was one of their best in terms of those interludes and those stitches. And they like that stuff. They like the personality that comes with it.
So I think they will do a digital event, but what's just giving me pause, you just said that they need to wipe the slate clean from Wii U. So maybe for like 1 year, just to wash that stink away, they have to go big once, and then maybe after that they can go back to digital.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, or maybe it's a hybrid of both, right? Because you can still sort of take the stage, make announcements, and then roll to something, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it is better to, I agree that it's better to see them on stage. I know that there's a vocal part of the audience that doesn't agree with me, but I think E3 is about that showmanship, and you guys can still do that on stage. Like, don't doubt it, you know?
They can be good. I mean, they're very good at it when they when they get it right.
Yeah.
Yep.
E3 moments.
And then in terms of games, Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, yeah. We know that.
Surely the one I like lean
right straight in my eyes, please. Yeah.
Heavily into that.
Holiday, it will come out the week before Thanksgiving. It's always the Black Friday. The week before Black Friday, Nintendo will drop a big game.
Then you can pick it up before you fly home and visit your family.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, the Switch is so good.
It's great.
Yeah.
How about this? Smash Brothers, Mario Maker, and Pokken Tournament all coming to Switch this year.
Too many ports. I think that's a little too much. Yeah, it could be Smash Brothers. Wait, say the list again. Mario Maker's too soon. I think they need to figure out what the community is of that game.
Yeah.
They had some smart ideas with the first one, but they also had some very bad ones. They didn't know how to really cultivate a community.
Yeah, maybe it's a sequel.
Yeah,
it's Mario Maker 2.
Yeah, but they still have the fundamental problem of how do you make a level when the Switch is on your TV? You can't use the touchscreen to drop and place these items, and it's much easier to do it. It's way more intuitive that way.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how they solve that problem. But I think if they went with that lineup, and that's not a bad lineup because those are great games, it's just too many ports. I think you save some of those for 2017. And you go, okay, now these two are coming back. And so then the next year.
They have a couple options. They either need to drip out ports to a degree that the console doesn't feel like a port machine. Mm-hmm. Or they could just be like, yo, there's 15 ports and they're all out in August. And then it's it. Like, well, okay, like,
I'll split the difference with you. I think a better, more impactful thing that would be to just do a little section of whether it's a live presentation or a recorded thing of, all right, well, we've got GameCube Virtual Console, so boom, you can play Mario Sunshine on your Switch, and you can play Eternal Darkness on your Switch. So enjoy those.
Yeah,
I mean,
and I'm sure he's going to get to this, Neil, since he's covered all the companies so thoroughly. But do not underestimate Nintendo's ability to drop a game out of the sky. Like, no one knew this was going to get announced. Then boom, it'll be out in October, or it'll be out in September, or it'll be out in January.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that they run into too. I feel you don't have to sell everything at E3. Like, they have Nintendo Direct. They use it very effectively to gather a bunch of people to watch them basically unveil new games.
Yeah.
They don't have to share the stage the way they would at E3. So I feel like that always puts them in an interesting position, because obviously they want to show up and bring a big game. But then at the same time, you need a Direct for September or November or October just to talk about what's January, what's February, what's March as you lean into the next couple of months.
Do you think they go, okay, well, Super Mario Odyssey, that's going to be our game of the show contender that everybody's going to talk about, and then we're gonna keep the rest of our cards close to the chest for another time?
Do Zelda it again. Just
it
Mario
again.
Odyssey.
No, just Mario.
Their whole booth is going to be New Donk City, guys. Yeah.
Woo! Now, I think they'll announce a new game that we didn't know about, and it'll be out before the holiday. I think that is super likely to happen, even though they've ironed out, okay, we've got Splatoon coming in the summer. ARMS should be out, hopefully, May or June. We don't really know.
ARMS.
Yeah, that's a game that's coming out. They have
Mario Kart Deluxe.
Mario Kart Deluxe is April, though. It's April 28th. So
I want to go back to this port thing. Like the Wii U, nobody owned that console. And I say that as somebody, I liked my Wii U. But like, they have got to give people another chance to play Bayonetta 2, to play Pikmin 3.
Captain Toad.
To play Captain Toad. Yeah. Like, but... you know, they run the risk of it just being the Wii U too, you know? Yeah. So it's like they're not stuck. Like, it's a nice problem to have. They have, you know, they have options, but
you gotta trickle them out.
They gotta be careful with it.
But another thing though that they need is they need some third parties to actually come to bat for them.
Yeah.
And what I'm talking about is, like, for example, there was that rumored Ubisoft Rabbids Mario game. If that game's real, it needs to show up at E3. And that game would at least represent a major third-party publisher actually making a major third-party game for them, and not, okay, we're porting Steep and we're porting Rayman Legends, which you played how many years ago? EA, same difference. Oh, we're going to get on stage in Japan to tell you a FIFA game is coming to Switch. Is it 18? We're not telling you yet.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you. And it ended up being FIFA 18.
Yeah.
What about a new Metroid? For Switch.
Not this year, I don't think.
Every night I ask myself that question.
What about a new Metroid?
Where's your camera? Nintendo.
He's brushing his teeth. He's talking into his microwave.
No, seriously. You cannot. There is no franchise in video games right now that fans are asking for more than Metroid, and it has been just absent for a while now. But it's that game that has always critically been received very well, but commercially, I don't know that it's done. You know what Zelda has done, what Mario has done.
That's why
it's such a good candidate to get the Breath of the Wild treatment. Not in a one-to-one way, but just like burn it down and rebuild it in a new modern context. And Super Metroid's my favorite games. That's a very scary thing to say, but it's a great candidate for it. You know, dark and moody, and even the exploration and survival aspect of it. It's a franchise that could really do with a reinvention like that.
Yeah, I agree. What about an Animal Crossing for Switch?
I mean, that's inevitable. To me, with questions like that, it's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
But I think if that game exists, that's a 2017 game. So if you show it at E3, you are making the intent that it'll ship hopefully by next E3, which would be cool. I'd like that. They also delayed the app that they've been working on, which makes you wonder if, and they've said before, Animal Crossing app and game are going to talk to each other, which would be nice. So you'll probably want a big Animal Crossing game for that. Mm.
We know there's multiple Fire Emblem games.
Yes.
Coming, right?
Yeah.
We'll most likely see those. What about Luigi's Mansion 3?
Yes, please. I love Luigi's Mansion. I bought it when I bought my GameCube. I have fond memories of that game. Finished it. It was real good. I don't care what anybody says. I would love to play
that. Oh, I'm not a hater. I like that game a lot.
Mario.
Yeah. I think it might be too soon, which is weird to say out loud. But yeah, I do. Yeah. Wait, never forget.
You just never what forget Luigi's Mansion.
No, never. No, don't sleep on Luigi's Mansion. But I feel like Nintendo likes to reinvent stuff too. And I just wonder if there's something that's a little more interesting they could do with Luigi than a tried and true sequel.
What about Skyward Sword HD announced for Switch?
Can we go back to Zelda? Nope.
That's why I wonder.
No.
Can we go back?
Is there any going back after Breath of the Wild?
Yeah, I asked this last week on NBC, and I know some folks responded to that question with, yeah, of course we can go back. And others are like, no, I think he's right. Like, how do you go back to old
you
Zelda?
Don't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. But, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, Skyward Sword, you know, great. Yeah, maybe not a masterpiece game, but a great game. Trapped. Like, it's trapped. Nobody played it. It's going to be the lost Zelda game if Nintendo doesn't do something.
It would need a significant overhaul. You'd have to get rid of the one-to-one sword stuff or make it optional. Like, you can switch between that and just using a regular controller. But here's the thing. With a remake and with their past remakes, Nintendo has smoothed out the things that have upset people. So think about it. If they tone down Fi and her constant interruption, if they tone down a lot of the dowsing and forcing you to kind of, oh, you should be looking for this. I feel like Skyward Sword was a game made for a platform that they were worried was too casual. And so it showed that they were constantly trying to hold you by the hand to tell you things that the average player knew. The average Zelda fan knew backwards. But they took a chance on that. They'd have to undo all that.
What about Beyond Good and Evil 2, announced as a Switch exclusive?
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. This is Neil.
Neil, that's what I mean. Neil, no, where are you? You're crazy.
I think actually Neil's not crazy at all. And the reason is because if you look at any platform launch of the last 5 to 10 years, Ubisoft has always been there in full force. Mm. Ubisoft is a company that, for better or for worse, always tends to bet big on a new platform launch, hoping that, you know, maybe if one or two of the things that they put on there stick, it's gonna turn into a new franchise for them and a new moneymaker. I'm not saying BG&E is necessarily going to suddenly become a franchise, but I could see Nintendo and Ubisoft finding common ground there and saying, you know what, there's this thing that everybody's been looking for a long time. Let's do it. Let's do it on our
console.
I see
the Rabbids game, though, is that. If that Rabbids Mario thing is real, and a lot of the reporting on Switch rumors was real, and those same people said, this is a game that exists. Now, it hasn't shown up yet. I think that game is more that. But I agree with you that they do place bets on platforms, and Beyond Good and Evil wouldn't be a terrible one. I think the first game's a cult classic, but it is still it is kind of a niche group, and yep, I think it would do better on a multi-platform like sort of status than it would on.
Well, there's
just
no
Switch.
Doubt about that.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with Jose, although I do think company the Switch is it's a hit. It's a hit out of the gate. Is it going to have sustained success? You know, there's a million and one questions. Who knows? But it launched strong, right? So if you're a company like Ubisoft, you have to be thinking really hard about getting some mini game like. Switch it up, coming this holiday from Ubisoft, and it's a collection of 15 weird mini games, and then you will sell, you know, like you want to be there if that console is the next Wii. there has to be, that has to be on their mind. Yeah. And I don't know that Beyond Good and Evil.
But I do agree with you, though, that I think those two companies may be getting closer together on whatever game it ends up being.
Right.
Yeah. Which will be cool to see.
Finally, Neil predicts Nintendo closes with the next mainline Pokemon game coming to Switch.
I think Stars might come to Switch. I wouldn't expect the sequel, the next big Pokemon to come to Switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think we'll see. You know, because is it announced as Stars? Or did
I
make that?
No. That was like based on the rumor reporting said that it was called Pokemon Stars, but I think they billed it as a port of Sun and Moon.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like they always do the first two games and then the combined version. I think for the first time we'll see that combined version come to a home console.
That would be cool. I mean, it definitely you can tell with the 3DS version of Sun and Moon that game was punching slightly above its weight in terms of like its look and all of the things they undid, and it would look better in a higher resolution screen. So I would hope so. I don't know. I think it's too soon for Pokemon. I think you can hold that till late 2016 or early 2017 and go, hey guys, there's a Pokemon game coming in 2018. Sorry.
I think
Stars, I'm talking like it's 2016. Excuse me. Yeah. I apologize.
Stars
is
their test balloon to say it's coming to 3DS and Switch. You figure it out.
Well, I just think like if they were on to sell Switches, if the next mainline Pokemon game is only on Switch and not on 3DS, like that would move. But
that would have to wait. That's a few years.
Well, Pokemon usually goes for install base, right? Like if you think about when 3DS came out, they still released a DS game with Black and White because that was a higher install base. With Sun and Moon, they made the conscious choice to pick 3DS because that has an install base. They weren't going to wait for Switch for Sun and Moon, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that that could still be a year or so off. But I mean, I could be wrong. I don't. The Pokemon company is as unpredictable as Nintendo. If you would have told me Pokken Tournament was a thing, I would have said no. Yeah. Like that makes no sense. The Tekken team is going to make a Pokemon fighting game.
Yeah,
that ended up being real.
And not bad.
No, and not bad.
But not super popular though, is it?
Hard to tell.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it showed up at Evo, but I feel like every fighting game its first year shows up at Evo. You know, whether or not it sustains is a different question.
Well, there you have it. A whole boatload of E3 predictions from our friend Neil in Spain.
Well, he's got a lot on his mind.
I know, he's got.
And nice job, Neil.
He spends a lot of time thinking. There's lots of good stuff to think about in here. I know we're running long. Before we play Video Game 20 Questions, I want to answer at least one more email. This week, this comes from Brenton in Dallas, Texas. He emailed us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like you can. And he says, you guys are awesome and make my daily commute more enjoyable.
Oh, thanks, Brenton.
I have a question for you. I'm preoccupied with my Switch and Zelda at the moment, but once I'm done, I would really love to play Horizon. However, I don't own a Sony console, never have. Horizon is the first game that makes me want to buy a Sony console, but I would much rather rent one just for that one game. So do you know of any place to rent consoles? And if not, do you think there is room for a console renting business, or is this a ridiculous idea?
Way back in the day, I rented a Dreamcast from Blockbuster or one of those, one of the video store chains. You
it's
could
a great 90s thing.
You could rent systems back in the day, but I don't know if there's anywhere. Well,
I think it died with video stores.
Yeah, right? That's exactly. I think so. Like, where would you even do that? Like, not Best Buy or not.
I just remember
like
the jingle, Blockbuster Video. Wow,
what a difference.
It was such a different time.
Unless Redbox figured out a way to shove some like video game consoles inside that little kiosk that you could pull out.
You would lose so much money on that business. People wouldn't return them. Like, you got to send the repo man to their house to go get the console?
I don't know, maybe there's a deposit or something.
Yeah, just put your credit card down or something.
If
it doesn't come back, they...
They double the price of the console.
It was a very... I never, I had a grandma that definitely like to spoil her grandson, and so I mostly got the video games that I wanted. But for me and my friends, it was very common to... I had a Nintendo, I didn't have the Super Nintendo yet, and you would spend so much money renting that Super Nintendo from Blockbuster, once a month or every other, however often you could get it, and you would end up like dropping all this dough.
Yeah, I feel like
on
a game would be like $3 or $4 to rent, and then the system would be like 20 or 25 bucks to rent for 2 days.
It's like, man.
Yeah. But I definitely rented the Super Famicom before the Super NES was out to play Mario World early.
Wow.
Nice.
From my location.
Nice.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's cool they had it in.
Yeah, so there's challenges. Consoles are more fragile. Like the Super Nintendo, you could just beat to death and that console would still run. Like that. The idea of an Xbox One or PS4, you know, traveling around to dozens of homes, it's a lot.
They're PCs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, they've become so much more complicated now. Yeah. Like you were just saying, like
there's operating systems.
Yeah, and like user profiles and all that stuff to make them.
They have web browsers on them, so kids would be looking up.
Who knows what?
Yeah.
I would only say, hey, ask your friends to come over. Like, go to your friend's house and play Horizon. Like, you got to have a friend who has a PS4. Sony didn't sell, what, is it 50-something million consoles. Yeah. Like, you don't know anyone who has
also PS4 deals. PS4? I mean, now is a great time. I mean, yeah, look, if you don't have the dough, that's unfortunate. But there's like $100 off. Like, get a PS4, get Uncharted 4, which is a game you want to play anyway. It's cheap now. There's deals all the time on that console. Like, now is such a wonderful time to like jump into a console generation and just bask in all the cheap, awesome games that you haven't had a chance to play yet.
Yeah. True. All right, it is time for us to play Video Game 20 Questions. Okay, everyone knows how this works.
I've never played this.
No, yeah,
oh, you haven't played this?
No, I have not played
You've played 20 questions.
Have been. I have played 20 questions, but I haven't been on this. I can't turn around. Like, what happens?
One of our listeners suggested a game this week. Twiggy in Melbourne, Australia suggested this game.
I thought that was the game, and I'm like, what?
And you guys have 20 yes or no questions to guess this game.
All right.
Let the questioning begin.
All right. Did this game come out before January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
Okay. Do we want to try and narrow it down further than that time-wise?
1990, I think.
Yeah. Good. Did this game come out in the 90s?
No.
80s games.
Okay, well, okay. Don't burn a question on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. It could be. That did trip us up one time because it was like 78. It was like, I think it ended up being Centipede or something. But
ice cold.
Yeah.
Ask if it's a console game or a PC game.
I think. I mean, I want to know. Like, I want to know if it's like an NES game.
I'm down with that question. Yeah. Oh, okay, fine. Is it an? Was it an NES game?
No.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, what?
Oh man.
No.
All right. Is this game mostly thought of and considered as being a PC game?
Yes.
Okay. So that eliminates arcade to.
It's Gianna Sisters. No, I don't know. That's true.
That game was 80s PC game.
So you get into the Ultimas, you get into.
Yeah, we got really hosed.
LucasArts Adventure. So the early LucasArts Adventure games, the Sierra.
Like the Mansion?
Yeah.
The most I've ever seen us get bodied in 20 questions was when we did, it was Carmen Sandiego, and we were miles away from there. We were running in the wrong direction. Yeah. It was bad.
Played that game at the school computers back in the day. It's good stuff.
All right, 80s PC game.
80s PC game. Wondering if it's edutainment or an actual game, but that's not a question.
I don't think
it
would do edutainment to us. Yeah, yeah. It was very controversial.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Nice. I didn't know that. Mostly a PC game.
Okay, is the developer still around? LucasArts is not around anymore.
No.
Neither is Sierra.
Yeah, neither is Sierra. Yeah.
Neither is Origin, if it's Ultima.
Yeah, the answer is no.
No. Crap. So who does that... Well, I guess I don't know how that helps us. Maybe that wasn't a great question. But I mean, you know, Activision was making PC games back then.
I wish I could sub in Jared. Can I call a line? Like, phone a friend. Now, phone a friend. I got a phone.
All right, I'm just going to... This is risky, but I'm just going to ask, was it a role-playing game?
No.
Okay.
So that's totally great. I mean, that's when question. I think about 80s PC games. Like, yeah.
Can I ask if it was a platformer?
Right.
Is it a platformer?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. This helps. All right,
okay. What was the like Commander Keen?
I thought about Keen, but I feel like Keen was like 90 because Doom was 93, and things happened very quickly back then. Like, you think that Keen and Wolfenstein were super far removed, but technically they really weren't.
80s PC platformers.
I'm thinking of like Pitfall. I'm thinking of
But that no one thinks about. It. I said primarily considered heavily like that's Prince an Atari Persia. Game. Yeah. Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia is a good games. One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we find out if this is a human as the main character or not? That would help, right?
Sure.
All right. Go ahead. So is the main character human?
Yes.
Is the main character a prince?
Yes.
Is it Prince of Persia?
Yeah, under 10 questions. You guys got that real fast. Yeah, Prince of Persia.
By the way, I played...
Platformer.
I played OG Prince of Persia hard as heck.
Yeah, it's impossible.
You have 60 minutes to make it through the entire ridiculously trap-filled dungeon.
Yeah.
It's hard. I never finished it.
It's also almost impossible to control.
That too.
Yeah. Originally came to Apple II in 1989. Yeah. But of course, then it was like ported to everything.
Amiga.
Everything after
everything
that.
Everything got it. Nice.
And I didn't know if there actually wasn't. There might have been an NES port, but.
Well, shit.
Yeah. There probably was.
I know there was Super Nintendo and Genesis ports, and I think I played it on one of those. And that was.
I wish that franchise would come back, by the way. When we were talking about Ubisoft.
Well, yeah, the last
Persia.
One was 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
animated self-shaded one.
Just, yeah. I'd be fine with a remake of Sands of Time.
Yeah, same. Not to derail. Sorry, it's just Prince of Persia, and I thought of, oh man, I love that series.
I liked the reboot that they made. It was controversial, the one with the cel shaded art, and I thought it was very good. It wasn't Sands of Time good, but it was still. I played through the whole thing. Thought it was excellent.
Yeah, the worst Prince of Persia game was that second one right after Sands
Warrior
of Time.
Within.
Yeah, I Stand Alone, the Godsmack masterpiece music. It was good game, but it was I wanted to mute it so bad.
Also, Jordan Mechner, lovely man.
You've met him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So I don't think he's still making games.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he's bouncing around. He made a couple of iOS games. That's how I met
him. He remade, is it Karateka? Is that how you pronounce it?
Remade Karateka.
Yeah, and he was in here and I played it with him.
Yeah. Well, that was actually published by Broderbund.
that publisher is definitely not around.
Company definitely not around anymore. Remember that Prince of Persia movie?
Yeah.
Yep. Wait,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, that's right. Oh.
Yeah, well done. Thanks for the suggestion, Twiggy in Melbourne, Australia. That is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Jose. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side passage?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.